Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is the epistle lesson found in 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Here ends our text. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends. So, do you have your Christmas lists ready yet? I know it may sound a bit out of season asking this early, but if the dropping temps don't have you thinking about it, perhaps the incoming chance of snow does. We are marching towards that time of year when we focus on gifts and giving, checking off those items on our wish lists and finding that perfect gift for that special someone. And obviously, as Christians, we do also like to focus on that true greatest gift that we receive, that being Christ. But all throughout Scripture, we can see we have so many other gifts to be thankful for. One of those gifts that is pointed out to us today is prayer. What an amazing gift of God that we have in that great gift of prayer. We have so much that we can pray about because Christ makes our prayers truly special. Now I have to admit, as a seminary student, these letters from Paul to Timothy hold a special place in my heart. Because Paul was giving encouragement and advice to his fellow faithful gospel worker, Timothy. Paul had a lot of time to do a lot of writing while he was imprisoned in Rome, and his correspondence with Timothy is certainly special. The last time he saw Timothy, he left Timothy as a young pastor in Ephesus. These letters that Paul is sending to Timothy is encouragement on how to lead his flock in Ephesus. What has resulted has been two great books of the Bible that pastors all around the world today can take timeless and wonderful encouragement and advice in their own lives as they lead their own flocks. These books of the Bible are wonderful messages, both to pastors and all other Christians. So as Paul is giving his encouragement and his advice, he brings up prayer. He tells Timothy, you and your congregation can pray for so many things. He only lists three of them here, but it's kind of all-encompassing in a certain sense. You can pray for all people. You can pray for the government and those in authority. You can pray that we live peaceful and quiet lives as we live out our lives of faith here on earth. And there is so much more, dear Timothy, that you and your congregation can pray for. I want you to pray all the time for everything. And this is a great encouragement for us, too. There is so much we can pray about, and our Father promises to listen to us. But there's an even better comfort that comes in these words of Paul. Not only do we have the assurance that we can pray to our Father, but he says that these prayers are good, and they please God our Savior. We can pray to our God about anything, and he loves to hear about it. Anything and everything that we can pray about is music to his ears. He loves to hear each and everything that we have to pray about. As I've gone throughout many classes in my life, I've heard several teachers say, there's no such thing as a stupid question. And usually, once that statement is said, I can hear the wheels turning and several other of my classmates as they try and think of a question to put that idea to the test. As someone who's learning to teach catechism classes, I can tell you that nothing puts that notion more to the test than, can God make a rock so big that God himself could not lift it? With our Father in heaven, we have a much greater policy. There is no such thing as a stupid prayer with our God. Are you having a good day? Give a quick prayer of thanks to your Father in heaven for making it so nice. Are you facing a stressful situation or tough decision? Pray to your God for endurance and wisdom. He promises to hear you and answer. He loves to hear each and every single one of those prayers. He even gladly loved to hear that prayer of Jesus in Gethsemane when he was praying literally not to be crucified. There is not a prayer that is uttered in faith that our God and Father does not want to hear. But we still don't always remember to do that. God tells us with clear and simple words, pray continually, and we fail to do that all the time. Whether it's a lack of trust in God or it's simply forgetting, we're robbing something from ourselves by forgetting about this great gift of prayer. God doesn't actually need our prayers to accomplish his will. His will be done either way. But we're taking something from ourselves by not trusting in the Lord with our prayers. There's a lot of truth in those words that we'll sing eventually later. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We have such an amazing gift of trusting our Father and seeing his hand work through our prayers that we totally forget about it sometimes. Or, say, other times, we go to the ditch on the other side of the road. We misuse God's gift of prayer in our hearts. We'll try and superimpose our own will above the will of God. We'll assume that just because we pray about something, that's the way it has to happen, exactly how we're picturing it. Remember that prayer that I mentioned that Jesus said in Gethsemane. Notice how, even though he prayed not to be crucified, that important phrase was still in there, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. We fail to keep that mindset in our minds at times. We'll use prayer as a tool to try and manipulate the world instead of a gift to see and an opportunity to see our Father working in ways we wouldn't even expect to answer our prayers. But even though we misuse this gift of prayer, the Lord's word still stands true. He loves to hear our prayers that we bring up to him in faith. Because of Christ. Because of that sacrifice that Christ made, when God looks at you and he looks at me, he sees somebody who is forgiven. Because of Christ and Christ alone, when he looks at you and me, when we bring our prayers before him, he sees a holy and beloved child. Washed clean by Christ's blood. When we pray for forgiveness, he hears us, loves us, and forgives us infinitely. So we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to pray for. And that is great. Our Lord encourages us to bring everything before him in prayer, and he promises that he will love to hear it. But there's something even greater about this awesome gift of prayer that Paul gets to. Our Lord Christ Jesus makes these prayers special. The lingering question throughout all of this still seems to be why? Why would the Almighty Creator of the universe bother to hear the prayers of me, a lowly sinner? Surely whatever little things I have going on in my life pale in comparison to whatever the Creator is maintaining and making sure is going right. Why would he bother listening to me? Well, Paul's answer for that is short, sweet, and to the point. He says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. This same God who sent his one and only Son, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. We clearly have a lot of worth to our Father in heaven. As we hear today, we see our worth, our idea of worth change, all through the blood of Christ. Christ is now this mediator that goes in between us and God. This mediator that robes us with his righteousness, that calls us holy before God's sight. And by the grace of God, we can see that Paul was spreading this message outside of the Jewish community. By the grace of God, in Paul's time, this message was now spreading out to Asia Minor, to Greece, to Rome. The message was getting out. And by this amazing grace of God, us Christians today, thousands of miles away from Jerusalem, thousands of years separated from the events of the Bible, we can rejoice in that same message of forgiveness through Christ. We can rejoice that we have the same gift of prayer, the same ability to bring what's on our hearts and minds before our God. We have this wonderful ability to send our own messages up to our Lord. We're no strangers to the idea of messages having a requirement in order to be sent. If you want to send a letter, you got to have the correct postage. If you want to send a text or make a call, you got to have a good paid phone plan. If you want to send an email, you need to be connected to the internet. If you want to say a prayer to your Lord, we need Christ. Because let's entertain for a moment the grim reality of what it would be if Christ did not come down to die for us. If Christ's payment for our sins was not in full, what would be left? It would be pointless. There would be absolutely no reason for any of it. We see what we can bring to the table. We see all the times that we misuse God's gift of prayer and then bring with that a whole other laundry list of sins. We see how we can't measure up. Even when we try and do good to counteract the bad, or try and notice that when we compare ourselves to another person, we do much better, it still isn't enough. In ourselves and what we can do, there is no forgiveness. And if there is no forgiveness, outside of Christ there is no forgiveness, we shouldn't be here. We should be out trying to run away from God, ignoring his message, trying to live our best lives, because it doesn't get better. If Christ's sacrifice was not true, our prayers would either be going to nothing or be falling on the deaf ears of a God who has forsaken us long ago. Which is why we rejoice today and every day. Which is why we do lift up our prayers of thanks to our God. Because that is not the case. Christ truly did come down to die for all of us. Christ does now serve as that mediator that goes in between us, calling us holy and innocent before our Lord. We have the proof not only in Christ's resurrection, but we also have proof in the fact that our Lord encourages us to pray. Prayer would be useless without Christ. Christ truly does make it special. The mindset has totally shifted from that of Old Testament believers. Because we see all throughout the Old Testament that they were rightfully so afraid of the notion of coming before God and asking a request of him. The general populace of Israel was usually afraid to come before God without an intercessor, a high priest, going in between them, making sacrifices and pleading on behalf of the people before God. Which is why we rejoice that we have our greater high priest serving on our side. We have Christ going between us and God. And because of that, God hears us. And he loves to hear us. We are his own dear children. What an amazing blessing it is that we can come before our God freely. Because we can look at other religions and see how good we truly do have it. Look at the other religions of the world and note their ceremonies and practices. The message is sometimes, if you want to communicate with your God, you got to perform the ceremony correctly. You got to wear the right clothes. You got to mix and drink the right potion. You got to burn the right incense. Only then can you actually talk with your God. What a truly great gift we have, evident to us in God's Word. Because let's get the obvious first answer out of the way. We have the assurance that we are praying to the one and only true, actual God, who not only can listen to our prayers, but can actually do something about it and promises to do so. But even greater, we see that there's no requirement made on us. Christ has taken that requirement and paid it in full. Even our short prayers are lovely things for God to hear. Lord, please forgive me my sins. Lord, thank you for the couple days of sunlight this past week. They were nice. Lord, keep me safe as I drive home today. All totally valid prayers that God loves to hear. There is no requirement on us at all. Christ has made our prayers truly special and unique when you look at the rest of the world. So, my encouragement to you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the same as Paul's encouragement to Timothy in our lesson. As we continue, especially as we march towards the season of Advent and think about the great gifts that God has given us, think about gifts and giving. Remember the gifts that we already have and those gifts that we can cherish. Today, start with prayer. Realize what an awesome gift we have in being able to directly come before our God and give our thanks and praise, our cares and our worries, and lay them at His feet. Cherish this great gift of prayer, because there's so much to pray about, because Christ has made our prayers truly special. Amen.